down. Okay, let's have a prayer, gentlemen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this study of Corinthians. Paul's blueprint here for being a Christian and what we should be like to the world is fantastic. We just pray, Lord, that we can live up to these standards. We pray that through the Holy Spirit empowers us to endure the pain and the hardship and the highs and lows of Christian life. And we pray for every man in here tonight that he takes something home that applies with him, and you keep us all safe. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, grab a seat, guys. I got Steve now, so I know I'm going to get out on time. He gets kind of fidgety. He's got the watch. Yeah. Jerry ignores him, but for some reason I look at him, and he's like, what's going on here? So tonight we're going to take a look at Paul's strategy for playing with an all-in attitude. And we're going to take a look at us with him, through him, and in him. I got a whole bunch of C words that you can remember: cooperative, careful, character, consistency, constraint, candid. We're going to take a look at a current day example of Paul's strategy and talk about how this all means to us. So going all in is a poker term for risking all your chips on a chance to win, putting everything on the line. If Texas Hold'em Poker was a ministry of reconciliation, this chapter lays out Paul's strategy for playing with an all-in attitude. Paul's execution can be summed up by the with him, in him, and through him. And this is a variation of Romans 11:36, which is, for of him, through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. So this chapter continues on Paul's theme of the ministry of reconciliation. We are ambassadors for Christ. Our duty is to tell the world about Jesus Christ, him. In completing this mission, we experience extremes of emotion, both joy unspeakable and deep sorrow. We'll examine this passage through the theme of with him, in him, whom, with a slightly different play, as we talked about. So the first thing we learn is from the first chapter, first verse and six, is we then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. So we're in this together. He's with us. His Holy Spirit lives in us. We are we do this together. I think last week Jerry was talking about it's important to understand whose team you're on. He told us lots of people wear a team's jersey, but a real fan cares. A real fan of Christianity has Christ on his team. Their personal radar is up, searching for opportunities to talk about Christ, both in common cause and in defense. And it's all about advancing the cause. And so we're called to that. We're real fans, but we got a real power behind us. And I think that part of this thing here, if you look at all these verses, I gave a whole bunch of them that I found this week, that God works through us. Earthly authors can't compare to the Lord's Spirit. I mean, some of you guys will recognize some of this stuff, some of these verses. You know, Mark 16:20, while the Lord works, we sow, he produces. John 15, you know, he's a vine, we're the branches. I don't think a lot of times in life, guys, we remember or we understand who's behind us. And Paul's trying to get this through here, and he says this whole thing about not in vain is because false teachers pulled these guys away from the Word of God, the true Word of God, and they pulled them towards under the law, or made them, you know, pull them back to Jewish traditions and customs where they had to work for God's love. And so there's two concepts here. One, he's on our team. And two, don't reject the grace that you're receiving. And don't fall in these subtle traps that Satan and the world will set out there for us. And I think so what is it? You know, if God is for us, who can stand against us? Great verse, right? And the other side of it is pray for confidence. I've done this before. I get an urging from the Holy Spirit, and I want to talk to somebody about Christ. Just catch your breath for a second and say, Lord, be with me. Give me some words. I don't know what I'm going to say, but I'm going to go up and talk to somebody. you know, some of my favorite things, and I'm getting out of order, but that's okay. I'm going to tell you anyways, is the cab driver. In business, people come up and ask me, what's my favorite book? That's my favorite opening to talk about Christ. Because my favorite business book is the Bible. I read it every day, like you guys do. I devour it, and I apply it in my work. And so I take a lot of Ubers, do a lot of traveling. When you don't see me here, I'm on the road, usually internationally in other places. And I was pulling up on Tuesday. I took a trip to Houston, just down and back, same day. And the driver bringing me home from National said, I got to ask you one last question. And I said, what is that? He goes, what makes you successful in business as we're pulling up the house? I said, well, that's easy. I'm successful at the mercy of Jesus Christ, and I had 2 minutes to talk to him. So I think that, you know, it's a cooperative effort. And people, you know, I didn't think he was going to say two words with me the whole call. And I had a couple of business calls on the way, and the last thing he says is, can you tell me what makes you successful? So God's on our team. He's with us. And then the other important verse before I move on here is, now is the day of salvation. You know, when you pass that person, if I let that driver go by and I didn't say anything to him or I gave him some earthly response to this, I've missed his salvation call. And we don't know when it's going to come. And I think in a lot of times we read the Bible and we say, well, yeah, well, 2,000 years ago they were thinking it was coming. And we just got to be, it got to be some urgency. And of course, Paul was urgent. If you read, you know, we've seen it time and time again. He's urging people. He's actually pleading with people to come to Christ. He's enduring all pain for people to come to Christ. I think this is the kind of thing that we got to remember. Now is the time of salvation. So if you walk past that person, they might not hear it again. And so this is, you know, we're ambassadors for Christ. This is our ministry. You don't have to be out there with a megaphone. God will bring you people. You got to pray for confidence. So let's talk about some other things that that Paul would like us to do in our walk being ambassadors for Christ. So no obstacles. I think that's one of the things I got out of this. And the most important thing is be careful because character counts. My verse I always say is in business and everything else is let your yes be yes and your no be no. You know, sometimes when you don't want to do something and somebody's on the phone with you and they're inviting you to something you really don't want to go, you go, oh, well, you know, the wife's got something planned or whatever. No, just say, you know, that's not going to fit in my schedule now. I mean, you can be nice about it, but let your yes be yes, your no be no. Like, at work particularly, in my role, I've been blessed to be the CEO. I just got to be firm sometimes because I don't want to leave it in, you know, where gray or where they don't really understand. I just say yes or no. You know, what are we going to do with this person? They're not performing. Put them on a plan. If they don't make it, what's going to happen in 30 days? We're going to have to fire them. That's the way it goes. But you can do this in love, but, you know, character counts. In the most important thing about it is everybody's watching you. They know you're a Christian. So they're waiting to see if you act like Jesus. And these are some of the themes that Paul's talking about in here tonight. You know, character is the greatest personal virtue. It makes all credible. In Romans 2, Paul goes into the word of God is blasphemed by hypocrisy. That's why we go to church, but we leave church and we're on our horns telling the person to get out of our way and swearing at them as we're trying to get out of the parking lot in this church or other churches or... You know, we go to brunch after church and our service is not on time because it's Sunday and it's crowded and we complain loudly, right? I mean, we all fall into these traps, but people are watching. And particularly, your family's watching. So those of you guys that have young kids, they observe everything and they notice every hypocrisy. Jerry and I always meet to talk about what I talk to you guys about. And today, before he had to take a trip, he's talking down in Newport News tonight, Christopher Newport. And he'll be back next week. But Jerry and I talked a long time about a root of bitterness. So let's say that you have a disagreement with your wife in front of your children. man, it's on us to own up to it when we're wrong, and even if we're not wrong, and apologize to the wife, your wife, for fighting in front of the kids, and apologizing for the kids to about what went on, too. I mean, that's one of the hardest things to do when you're head of the family is to apologize to everybody. And, you know, the verse here is Proverbs 24:16. Righteous man falls seven times and rises again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity. It's okay. We're going to make mistakes. We just got to remember that there's a lot of people watching us in the workplace. You know, they're looking for inconsistencies. They want, people in life want to know the genuine person. Are we genuine people? And so they're watching us. And then there's 50 of them that want us, 50% of the people want you to succeed. And the other 50% want you to fall because you're a Christian. So this is what Paul was experiencing. This is what we experience in lesser, you know, kind of severity in our life. You're not getting beat one lash before death or thrown into prison or chased out of town or stoned. But, you know, we have similar things, though subtle, in our lives, and we got to be aware of it. The other thing, too, is when you have this attitude of Christ and in your life, and you fall, your recovery time is quicker. You're like a professional athlete. When they run 100 yards, let's say they take a kick off and they go all the way back down the field and they return it for a 100-yard return, they're just sitting out one play and they're back on the field. Your recovery time is quicker because you understand the reconciliation, the ministry of reconciliation, what God has done for us and what we need to do for other people. So we touched a little bit about on this next one in conflict and testing. And I think the most important thing when we talk about conflict and testing and when it comes upon us is to realize, Lord, what are you doing? What do you want me to learn from this? You know, we're reminded here in Romans that the pain you've been feeling can't compare to the joy that's coming. That's Romans 8:18. And pain has manifests itself in a lot of different ways. There's pressure for work. You know, that's a pain, right? You know, you're worried that you might be losing your job. You're worried about supporting your family. That's a lot of stress. That's a stressful time. And so, Lord, what are you doing here? Why are we going through this? And then there's physical ailments of people around you, you know. You know, I've got a sister-in-law who was diagnosed with ALS. And watching her through this is, if I was to dive deeply in this, is a true testimony for Christ. You know, just her whole heart in this thing. She lost her job as a bus driver, and WGTS did a special on her, which was kind of fun to see. But, you know, her heart was for those kids and playing Christian music in the morning because she believed if they just got one thing that they could hear, one song to keep in their head, that they might be better overall. And that whole attitude has really permeated itself through this whole sickness. And I think in the verse here and previously, we talk about the aroma of life and the aroma of death. This is the aroma of life. It's what we want to be known for, right? In our walk with Jesus, in our walk in life, you want to be known for the aroma of life. My only hope, and, you know, there's a lot of things people say, you know, when you think of your life, think about what's going to be on that tombstone at the end of your life. I have one desire for my tombstone, and I hope that in the end of the day that people can say I was a godly man. That's all I want. The worldly stuff doesn't matter, but are you a godly man? Did you handle people fairly? And all those things that are rolled up in that whole definition of godly man. So I'm way off my notes, but it's okay. The Holy Spirit's rolling. I got to figure out where I am here. Okay. Found it right here. So one of the things that Paul addresses in here, and I think it's important, is, so how do you know you're being a godly man? How does this all happen? How do you know that you're living correctly? And I take a snippet of here of 1 Thessalonians. I'm going to read the whole thing for you. But it's God who tests our hearts, and our conscience is our guide. So starting in verse 1, I'm going to read 1 through 8. For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain. But even after we had suffered before we were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. For our exhortation did not come from error, uncleanliness, nor was it from deceit. But as we have been approved by God, entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not pleasing to men, but God who tests our hearts. And that's what we're talking about. God has entrusted us with the gospel, right? And so we speak. Now, some men aren't going to like the truth because they love the darkness. But our job is to still speak. And we speak verbally. We speak by our actions. We're talking about all the things here. We speak when people are watching us all the time. And now here's the rest of the verse. For neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor cloak of covetousness. God is our witness. Nor do we speak glory for men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we are gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. So affectionately longing for you, we were pleased to impart you not only with the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. So this is important. I mean, these same things are playing the same things that in this First Thessalonians passage is also in our passage tonight. One of the guys in the group tonight, the leaders, he talks about the left and right hand of righteousness. He thought that was powerful. And we do this in honor and dishonor, popular or not. And this is what makes our reputation. But, you know, when you think about the pain and all this kind of stuff, isn't that what makes victory sweeter? If something comes easy, we don't appreciate it enough. But if we have to practice at it, if we have to work for it, if it takes a while to get there, the sweetest victories come after hardships. And so, what are you fighting for now? Is it worldly or godly? Your conscience will tell you whether it's the right priority or not. So it's one of the things I'd like for you guys to leave with that one of those thoughts tonight. All right, so we talked a lot about this in Leaders 2. And first of all, candid love. Now, it's always amazing. I get more out of preparing for these lessons than delivering them. But I'm in this part about, have genuine love for all. And on Saturday, a couple weeks ago, as I'm preparing for you guys, I run into somebody I really don't like out in the public. And I don't know why I don't do it. I just have this feeling towards this person that it's just like, I have a personal opinion. And I'm like, no, I need to stay here and figure out how to love this guy and talk to him. And I actually ended up talking 20 minutes. And as I'm there, I'm praying, what else can I ask him, Lord? Give me some more stuff because I want to practice this because I'm not really good at it. Where was this joke? I had this joke in here. No, hang on for a second. It was, where'd it go to? I'm so off my notes. You guys can make fun of me. Maybe I'll find it as I go through here, but I'll tell you. But it was about, a Christian guy talking about other Christians, and the net of the joke was, he said, yeah, and I wish a lot of them hurry up and go to heaven. So anyways, we should not constrain ourselves. So this is the unequally yoked stuff. It's probably the most important lesson, in my opinion, that you could impart to your children and practice in your lives. It has a couple of characteristics. It's a voluntary agreed to. It's not easily broken, and it's permanent. And you cannot, when you have things that are unequally yoked, you can't have light and darkness together. And when you look at the biblical words, it's like they're heading in different directions. So this is a really, really important thing. And so Paul, and he says, if you're going to be ambassadors for Christ, don't constrain yourself. Love everybody and don't constrain yourself. And, in my thing, clearly marriage comes into this. Permanent business relationships. Now remember, we're in the world. It doesn't mean that we only talk to Christians or only work with Christians, but this is an important concept, and I'm sure that you guys talked a lot about it in your groups. we're moving right along. That's good. Okay, so in my study, I found a prayer that Pastor Saeed did. I don't know. There's been a lot in the, you know, he was imprisoned in Iran. There's been a lot in the paper about Pastor Saeed, and there's more stuff that's coming out. I'm going to qualify all that was, yes, I realize it's out there, but when I'm going to play a prayer that he had for you, and to me, it struck a chord with what we're living with today in this world, and it's a very extreme. He had an experience much like Paul had in Philippi in Iran recently, and he just got out of jail. He's 35 years old. Let me give you a little bit of his background. But I do believe this prayer that I'm playing with you is very Holy Spirit driven. He's an Iranian Christian pastor who was imprisoned in Iran. He was detained in Iran in the summer of 2012, initially incarcerated in Evin prison in September. In January, he was sentenced to 8 years in prison, reportedly on charges of undermining national security through private religious gatherings of Christians in homes. Before the regime changed, he had a home ministry group, and him and his wife, you know, had thousands of people in home ministries and learning. And then the regime change came, and then they told him to stop, but he kept on going back, and he eventually gets in prison, to take a long story short for you guys. But let's listen to what he's got to say, and then we'll put her on the runway tonight. Oops.
February 18th, 2013. Writing from my heart. My dear friends, the conditions here get so very difficult that my eyes get blurry, my body does not have the strength to walk, and my steps become very weak and shaky. Various bullying groups, the psychological warfare, almost a year of not seeing my family, physical violence, actions committed to humiliate me, insults, being mocked, being confronted with extremists in the prison who create another prison within the prison walls, and the death threats. It is interesting that because I am a Christian pastor, I am carefully watched. I am expected to smile at them despite what is being done and to understand why they are doing all of these things. But, of course, I can clearly see what is going on, and because I want to serve God, I see all of these difficulties as golden opportunities and great doors to serve. There are empty containers who are thirsty for a taste of the living water, and we can quench their thirst by giving them Jesus Christ. Maybe you are also in such a situation, so pray and seek God that He would use you and direct you in the pressures and difficulties of your lives. There are those who are enemies of the living Bible and do not want to hear. They are trying to put me under such horrific pressures that are sometimes unbearable, so that they can show me that my faith is empty and not real. And after all of these pressures, after all of the nails they have pressed against my hands and feet, they are only waiting for one thing, for me to deny Christ. But they will never get this from me. This is why the Bible is truth and they are in the way of destruction. There is another group who does not know the gospel of truth. Instead of truly listening and meditating on God's word, they are just waiting to see how I react to all of their pressures and persecution. What will come out of me during these intense times? But again, this is another golden opportunity for me to shine the light of Christ in this dark world and to let God use me. Yesterday when I was singing worship songs, the head of my cell room attacked me in order to stop me from praising, but in response I hugged him and showed him love. He was shocked. It is during these harsh conditions that I deeply need God's saving grace so that I can be the fragrant scent of Christ in the dark house of Evin prison. I have often seen the shining morning star in the darkness of this prison, and I have seen His amazing and supernatural works. Oh, how beautiful is seeing the light of the shining morning star of Christ in such evil darkness. So, see your golden opportunities and pressures and difficulties. See the shining morning star in the dark times of your life. I love Him. He is gracious, merciful, and righteous to me. I now know that I have not been forgotten and that we are together in this path. God gives me grace. This is my message for the church. Stay strong for His glory. He will come back soon. Be with God and give your best efforts for His kingdom. Pastor Saeed, servant of Jesus Christ in chains for endurance of the gospel. I love you all.
I got it back. I forgot to read. Just give me two more minutes, guys, because I know it's 2 minutes over. But I want you just to read a description. A prisoner got out of there, and he wrote a description of this prison this guy was in, Practice Saeed. And here's a picture of the prison. Though large in the eyes of the citizens of the area, in reality, this is a very small prison because of overcrowding. This is a different world, much like the hell depicted in movies, full of fire and smoke. A world filled with burnt black, disheveled faces, naked bodies covered with sweat and red marks from the sting of lice. A world filled with torn trousers, scraps which are used as belts, bare and filthy feet, clothes worn inside out, covered with lice, torn, mismatched slippers. A world in which you are exposed to polluted air, the extreme smell of putrid waste, overflowing sewage from toilets, the toxicity of dry vomit, infectious phlegm, and the body odor from bodies in close proximity. Prisoners are really given the opportunity to bathe, all coming to a climax with the smell of urine by those who are unable to control themselves. So this is a pretty horrible place this guy was ministering in. And when you think about it, in our world here today, we've got a pretty comfortable place to be ambassadors for Christ, and we should praise God for that. But it gives you something to think about. And so in review, how does this all affect me? Well, I think we reviewed a bunch of this. To be ambassadors for Christ, we have a cooperative effort that gives us comfort and courage. And now is the time of salvation, so now is the time to act. We need to be careful because character counts. We need to be consistent because we're always being watched. The pain that we are enduring cannot compare to the joy that is coming. Conscience is our guide. Do not constrain yourself and practice candid love. Those are the concepts tonight. And the two quotes I want you guys to take out the door, remember you, is be with God and give your best efforts for his kingdom. And behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. So, gentlemen, I hope you all take something home, but pray with me and then we'll dismiss. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're with us. Please give us the courage, the Holy Spirit, to play with this all-in attitude, to throw all the chips on the table, Lord, to love you every day, every moment of our lives, and be focused on glorifying you and extending your kingdom here on earth. Lord, we're only human. We stumble, but we know that you will pick us up each time and dust us off because you love us, and yours is the spirit of reconciliation. Help us with this ministry of reconciliation, Lord, with our people that are close to us and people that are not, that people recognize us as godly men just trying to do right. Though we trip, we may fall, we get up quickly, and we recover quickly because of the love of Christ and the mercy you bestow on us. Lord, we always ask you in every one of our prayers to protect our families and friends. We only look to glorify you, be a light to our feet, and we love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys, have a great night. Be safe.